All right, are we ready for God's Word this morning? Let's open our Bibles this morning, if you want to open yours with mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that's New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this morning we're going to conclude what has been a three-part series on God and money. Because the Bible has so much to say about the subject, do you realize that the Bible speaks more about money than it does about heaven or hell? Do you know the Bible speaks more about money than it does about angels or demons? It tells you that God understands and is trying to communicate to us the severity, maybe not the, that's a not a good word, the gravity of how we handle money and how that reflects our heart for the Lord. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Amen? And so, you know, last week we closed with that scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, that says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, and it shall return back to you not many days after." So we have to place our faith in scriptures like that, where it says that we cannot, and here's a PowerPoint or power thought that we looked at last week, that we can never outgive God. Who's proven that to be so? I've proven that. You know, the Lord will not be outgiven by anybody. Amen? Amen. You know, we ought to pray for more Bill Gates to come into the kingdom of God. Can you imagine the work that they could do with their money? The millions and millions that they... But you know what? How many of y'all know that the Lord does not need a Bill Gates to fund His program? He relies on the faithful giving of His people that are not millionaires.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? And God will bless them. So let's read 2 Corinthians, because I've got some more power thoughts, and we're going to finish with a nice, fun thought, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap how, church family? Sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap how? So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Let's all say that. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you want God to love you a little extra? He loves everybody the same. But do you want God to love your giving? I do. I want God to say, you know, I can rely on that little crazy, wild-eyed, crazy Mexican preacher to give when I prompt him to give. Right? Those of you who were at Dairy Queen last night understand wild-eyed, crazy Mexican preacher. But God loves a cheerful giver. And so, church family, here is the first power thought for this week. And that is, giving is a seed you sow. It is not a debt you owe. Giving is a seed you sow, not a debt you owe. How many of us know that farmers plant seeds on purpose? That based on the amount of seeds that they plant, they can determine what the harvest will be like, all things being equal. Am I right, Gene? They can have a pretty correct estimation of what their harvest will be like based on the seed that they have planted. And church family, I'm telling you, if you want God to open you the windows of heaven, as He says in Malachi chapter 3 verses 10 and following, number one, become a tither. Trust God to bless you when you sow that tithe into a certain church institution. Now, can I go on a rabbit trail real quick here? You know, it's funny how today people, I mentioned Bill Gates, people like Bill Gates are praised for their generosity, and the world, the culture will pat you on the back for giving to a lot of worldly organizations like UNICEF and all these other relief. And listen, I'm not knocking them, but people, the world has a problem when people give to Jesus. They don't like you giving to Jesus. They all of a sudden become like Judas Iscariot. Oh, Lord, what about the poor? You know, this woman should not have taken that expensive perfume and poured it on your feet. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. See, settle in your hearts, church family. Not everyone, especially the culture, will like you giving to the church. Oh, well, they're a bunch of hypocrites. I was once having, many years ago, when I was in my 20s, I was 25 and pastoring my first church. Gosh, I had no business at that age being a pastor, but God's mercy. And I was getting my hair cut by this lady, and I was, you know, sharing Jesus to her, and she said, well, I don't go to church. I don't go to church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. And I said, is that right? She said, yeah. She said, all I do is I drop my kids off at church, but I don't go to church. I'm thinking, who's a bigger hypocrite? You don't go to church. Church is not good enough for you, but then you're dropping your kids off at church. Who's a bigger hypocrite? She's a bigger hypocrite. Church is good enough for your kids, but it's not good enough for you. Yo, baby, I didn't get off the turnip truck last night. Can I get a witness, please? So listen, church family, giving, your giving is a seed you sow. You give on purpose. You know, sometimes when I'm a little, when I hit a little, when I need to tighten the belt up in my budget, and I hope you budget, let me just say it this way, since we've got to condense it. I'm praying, church family, that you don't have a Hail Mary budget. That is, you spend it and you hope it's there at the end of the month. Track your expenses. Know what expenses are coming in when. Know the birthdays of your kids, the birthdays of your grandkids. Yoo-hoo. Know how much you want to spend when and what the budget looks like. I'm not preaching here that you ought to, that God will bless your, what's this, brother? Yoo-hoo. I like this. A yoo-hoo. I like to say yoo-hoo during, just get people's attention. Thank you, Craig. Oh, my goodness. I can always count on you, brother, for lighting me up. So, church family, where was I? What's that, honey?
Budget.
I hope you have a budget. I'm not preaching a Hail Mary budget, baby. I'm not saying God, give to God and you can spend money however in the world you want to. That's not what I'm suggesting, baby. God expects us to be faithful, diligent stewards of His resources. Amen? So power thought number two, power thought number one for today is, listen, your giving is a seed you sow. It is not a debt you owe. Number two, listen, your seed will leave, your offering, your money leaves your hands when you give to the Lord, when you put it on that offering tray, but it does not leave your life. People, I wish more people understood this. When you give to God, your money leaves your hands, but it does not leave your life. It goes into your future, and it produces a bumper crop of a harvest for you. How many of y'all believe that? Man, if you get a hold of that truth, baby, we'll become givers. We'll become faithful givers. We'll give cheerfully. Why do we want to give cheerfully? Because God what?
Loves
a cheerful giver, right? So listen, your giving, though it leaves your hand, though it leaves your wallet, though it leaves your checkbook, though it leaves your debit card, however you choose to give, it will leave your hand, but it will not leave your life. It'll go into your future and produce a crop of a harvest for you. Right? Isn't that what Paul said? He who reaps, he who sows sparingly will reap how? Sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Your money will leave your hand, but it will not leave your life. We said last week in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, cast your bread upon many waters and it shall return back to you. And this is the way I said it. Give God your bread and He'll butter it for you and give it back to you. Amen. Right? Good stuff so far, church family?
Amen.
So listen, and to that point, let's go look at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 9, that it will go into your future and produce a harvest of return for you. Notice verse 8, and God is able to make how much grace? all grace do what toward you? Abound toward you, that you, how often?
Always
having how much sufficiency? Can anybody other than my brother Terry join in? This is a choir. This is not a solo, yo. Having how much sufficiency? In how many things? May have a what kind for every good work? May have an abundance of it. You know, I thank God, church family. I'll tell you, I thank God that now, because of faithfulness and giving, and I bet a lot of you can testify to this. Now where I am at 54 in my life, I give to more causes. I give to more of God's causes than I ever have in my life, because this promise is true. I have faithfully given to the Lord, as many of you have and still do, and the Lord has made all grace abound toward me, that I, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Thank you. Clever, brother. I like that. All righty. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, church family. So far, so good, everybody?
Yeah.
Is this a good series?
Yeah.
We're going to wrap it up here shortly, so it better be good. All right, now I want us to talk about miracle money. It seems like I'm shifting gears, and I kind of am, but church family, when you talk about giving, you've got to talk about the harvest. So, let's talk about miracle money, all right? We're going to see an account in the New Testament where, please understand, the Jews had to pay temple taxes for temple maintenance. They had to pay these to other Jews, to the temple people, all right? And so we're going to see an account here where one of them asked one of the disciples a question about Jesus paying taxes to the temple. And when they had come, verse 24... And when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" That every person had to pay a double drachma, okay? Or two drachmas per person for the temple maintenance. Verse 25, he said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their own sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers," Jesus said to him. Why would Jesus ask that question to Peter? Because he's saying, listen, that is my temple. So I'm being asked, I, the Son of God, and that temple is my temple. Remember we looked at a couple weeks ago when Jesus cleansed the temple? He made it a house of purity. Then it became a house of prayer, and it became a house of power. Became a house of praise. Remember that? We talked about it, and Jesus said, this is my house. So whose house is the temple? Jesus himself said, listen, the kings of the earth don't collect taxes from their own children. They collected from strangers. He's saying, I'm the Son of God. In a roundabout way, Jesus is saying, I'm the Son of God. I don't need to pay taxes on. This is my house. All right? Moving right along. Verse 26. Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, which Jesus is saying, listen, I don't need to pay taxes. This is my house. But he said, nevertheless, verse 27, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. When you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. What is that called, church family? That's called miracle money. Can we talk about miracle money? You know, we have attributed certain characteristics to money. We say there's old money. Can somebody tell me what old money is? Gene, can you tell me what? I'm sure I know you know. It's a generation. You inherit it from your grandpa who was an awesome farmer and you were raised with silver spoons, right? No, not raised with silver spoons.
First generation
farmer. Got you. Okay. And okay. So what about dirty money? What is dirty money?
Ill-gotten gains.
You got it through wrongdoing. How many of y'all know that we looked at that in week one? That is important. How we get money is important to the Lord, isn't it? How did you get that money? Was it filthy lucre? Isn't that funny? The Bible calls it in the King James Version a filthy lucre, dirty money. That's money gotten by ill gains, prostitution, selling drugs, etc., etc., right? Or, never mind, I better not go, Joe, don't go down that road. I think I got my point across. What's that, what you say? Oh, yes. How did you know that? You read my mind, but I was trying to leave it alone, Craig. Or not Craig, Gerald. Both of you guys are the same rabble rousers. All right, moving right along. Sorry. But anyway, so we attribute characteristics. What's that? I'm sorry, Craig. I'm sorry, Gerald. No, Craig. Thank you, Gene. So we attribute certain characteristics of money. So listen, let's attribute this characteristic to money and let's call it miracle money. How many of you would agree with me that maybe in your life you have received money that, number one, you did not earn, money that, number two, you did not budget for, money that, number three, you did not expect coming in? Would you raise your hand with me? Amen? How many of y'all would call that miracle money? Isn't it awesome when you get a phone call or something comes in the mail or something and it comes in and there's the money and you're like, wow, this is miracle money. Was not expecting it. Didn't even know that that was going to come to me. But thank you, Jesus. I've got it now and I'm going to honor you with it. And then I'm going to go spend it like crazy. Saving some first. All right, Gene, I know you're getting a big kick out of this. Listen, I have had that happen to me several times. In fact, when I was married to Gabriella's mom, she would frustrate me to no end. No end. Because I would receive miracle money, always through me. The Lord seemed to bring it to the family through me, and she had it spent already. I remember back in the 90s, okay? This is back 20 years ago. Actually, 25 years ago. A quarter of a century. Man, time flies. Yikes. Wow. A quarter of a century ago, I had a funeral for a guy that I had really, really, you know, and when we were in Kansas, we had really tended to, and I had really tried to be a pastor to him, and he needed me, relied on me to take him places to eat, and the son and the daughter-in-law really saw my effort and stuff. So when he passed on, I had his funeral. You know, normally you get about $100 for a funeral, you know, stipend. They gave me $500 back in the mid-90s. That's how many of y'all know $500 is good money now. How much more was it back in the mid-90s? Good money, huh? And I came home and I showed my wife at the time the check and I said, you're not going to believe this. Looked at this. She said, oh, great. We can buy us a swing for the outside house. I'm like, but I wanted to buy a new suit. What? And so me being trying to be the good husband, I bought her the dead gum swing. And I said, maybe next time I won't tell her. How many of y'all know I've got a big mouth? I can't. Sometimes I cannot keep things to myself. Don't raise your hand, Gene. I saw that hand, Gene. Do both. You better be going hallelujah, brother, not going, yeah, I know you got a big mouth. And so I would tell her she would have it spent. I remember one time, you know, when the small community that I was serving back in Kansas, in St. Francis, Kansas, they found out that I was, you know, conversationally apt to speak Spanish. They, all of a sudden, there was a groundswell of interest in the community there of people that wanted to learn conversational Spanish. So I had a lady come up to me and approach me saying, hey, if you want to teach it, you can work through this community college. So I decided I would. And we had so many students, I would get paid off of the number of students we had. We had such a class full that I made $1,500 in about a couple months' time teaching conversational Spanish. $1,500, and guess what? The wife had it spent. Anyway, now I really get to enjoy my miracle money. And then once that was done, you know, that happened for about 3 years, and the Lord gave me extra income, you know. And how many of y'all know that sometimes you have to work a little extra for that extra income? Come on. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And then, you know, when that finished, I figured, oh, it's all done. Well, then at that point, there were some new families that came to live. They were Hispanic families. They were Mexican families. And I kind of thought maybe they were illegal. But they were working at the hog farm. And they had kids that were enrolled in school. It was 4 different kids. And so I remember one day the principal, the superintendent of the school of the high school called me in and he said, hey, you're going to have to tell them, and you know, can you interpret for us? I said, sure, not a problem. So I stopped by and I interpreted because the kids said, you know, our parents want to enroll, because the parents were there with the kids at the school. And so at first the principal said, well, I don't know if we're going to be able to, because we don't have anybody to teach them in Spanish. And I said, well, I can maybe volunteer. I'll have to check with my church board. I'll volunteer, you know, and whatever. And so they came back with an offer. They were going to pay me $20 an hour to be an ESL student, English as a second language, to those kids. The board, the church board, approved it. It was like a win-win because I was getting paid. You know, I worked a couple days a week, but then when there was testing, I had to work every day, morning to noon at 20, or not to noon, till 3, at $20 an hour back in the year 2000. How many of y'all know $20 an hour is good money? It's miracle money. I did earn, but I didn't expect it. I wasn't budgeting for it. And hallelujah. Well, listen, my friend, this is what I'm trying to tell you. When God butters your bread, it tastes pretty darn good. Amen. It tastes better than when you first gave it to Him. Right? Amen. Let me break that down, that thought. It tastes better than when I first gave it to Him. You know, I once heard Larry Burkett. Who remembers the late Larry Burkett? Before, what's his name now? Dave Ramsey, there was Larry Burkett. And Larry Burkett talked about someone who 1 year earned money and was not a tither and lived, tried to save money. He said that by the end of the year that he made money, that he spent more than he should have and he never had enough. The next year he heard about tithing, started giving to the Lord, lived off of 90% of what he made and gave God his 10%. At the end of the year, he saved more money. He could track all his money and he had more money left over on 90% of his income than 100% of his income the year before. So when the Lord butters your bread, baby, it tastes better than when you first gave it to Him. Honey butter. I got a check from my former health insurance provider in the amount of $391. Who wouldn't mind $391? And then I said, Cynthia, I'm going to take you out for some serious steak. Didn't I, babe? Yeah. So anyway, what am I saying, church family? This is real. Miracle money is real. Do you have faith to believe that He can meet your needs in very creative ways? Some of you are thinking, well, I don't know, I can't teach English as a second language. Yo, don't limit God. Do not limit God. God can open you the windows of heaven, church family, and provide for you miraculously. How many of y'all know that? I don't talk about it all the time, but this happens to me on a regular basis. It really does. I'll go to places and I'll get comp for meals. You know, when I don't eat out as much, but when I used to eat out at Buffalo Wild Wings, there was a server there. What he would do is, I was a rewards member, so after so many points, I would cash in my reward points and get a free meal. Well, he would use customers who did not have a rewards program. He would credit their points to my account. So like one day I'd think, oh wow, I've got 1,200 points. The next day I'd have 3,000 points. That's 3 meals right there, free meals. He would do that just because he liked me, church family. How many of y'all know that favor, God's favor, is real? God will make His face to shine upon you. God will give you favor in the sight of other people, and you'll be having freebies all the time. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. Amen. All right. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of God's Word?
Amen.
All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Help us to receive it into our lives, Lord. Thank You for the power thoughts that the giving that we do is a seed that we sow. It's not a debt that we owe. And Father, that our giving, though it leaves our hands, it does not leave our lives. It goes into the future and produces a harvest for us. I thank You for this, Father. As I want to seal this series up, I pray that we receive it into our hearts and believe You, Lord. Believe You for miracles, God. I pray for intervention. I pray for miracle money for these people, and I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Listen, before we close, I want to give one last illustration. I forgot about this. Just came to my mind while I was praying. And that is when my oldest daughter, she had gone 1 year to Trinity up in Palos Heights. It's like a Presbyterian Christian college or university. And then she transferred from there to Lee University. It's out of state, private. How many of y'all know that's expensive? It's not a state school. Gosh, it was private. So it was enormous, you know, the debt that they were going to incur trying to go to college. And so, you know, I was just living my life, and the wife and I had just planned out, this is what we're going to send them to Lee, if they want to go to Lee, wherever they want to study. And I'm telling you what, out of the clear blue, there was this gentleman that came to me, and he said, Joe, you're not going to believe this. Someone, my former boss that had passed on, my late boss, left a ton of money for people, for young Christian people who are going into Christian colleges to study for purposes, you know, and he's left all this money to help them with their tuition, and no one's availing themselves of it. I said, I can. My oldest daughter can help. She received, in the course of 3 years, she received $10,000. Then the middle daughter, $12,000. The youngest daughter, Gabby, $12,000. I didn't expect it. Well, what am I trying to communicate, church family? Listen, this is what I'm trying to do. Don't limit God. He fed Elijah through the ravens, and he fed Elijah through that poor widow with her son. Don't limit God. It happens. I get super excited about this because I can just tell you story after story after story. Start praying and saying, Lord, we believe, we tithe, we give. Lord, we believe You can bring miracles and bring us miracle money. Amen.